Welcome back to Enslate.
Been a while, been a minute.
Our first episode for December.
And a post Spotify rap. Thank you, everybody. Wow.
It really warms the heart, no?
Yeah.
To know that people actually listen to us and obsess over us too.
Obsessed, but that might be a strong word.
Okay, fine. Love us. It grew a whopping 10%.
How many new listeners? Oh man, there's just so many stats and metrics that I.
Wala lang, because because when Matt Bellany was talking about how the town grew 125%, I was like, well, we did 9%. That's fine, I guess.
Hey man,
yeah,
it's better than eight.
Beggars can't be choosers. It's the quality of the yeah,
and we're grateful for all of you.
Yes,
but actually, my decent segue. Because of that, because I happen to be surprised volunteering at Q Cinema.
Yeah.
So I knew the answers because it was some of the questions. I was actually just early for a screening, but I was hanging out with some of the peeps there, sitting down behind the table. And then these two young people came up and then they were like asking a question, but then one of them suddenly went, oh, it's Ramon. And I was like, do we know each other? How do we know each other? Because my memory is starting to go now. But they said they were listeners of Enslate. So I was like, aw. So I had to take a picture because I was like, it's too rare. They're like jewels.
Yeah.
Why didn't you post it on the Facebook group? Because they're on it.
I don't know.
Send it to the Telegram group at least. Masyado bang creepster pag ano, hey, look at these.
Hindi naman, pero...
Kakatawa yung my memory is fading.
But because like Q Cinema, as we are about to discuss, was so busy and so packed, I think it just got sort of, you know, buried under in my camera roll of stuff. So anyway, to make things very blunt, let's go segue to...
Q Cinema.
I want to know how it went, guys, because I missed out this year. Go ahead.
This is the first year that we were not listening to the Q Cinema jingle all the time. I guess Mel missed it because she was in Boracay. It was a really fun, packed festival. I saw something like 19 films, I think.
19?
And Quark was on the jury this year.
Jeez!
Yeah, it was a really good selection. And it's a lot of the country's official representatives to the Best International Feature category, the Oscars. And then there's some, of course, from the people that we are already fans of, your Yorgos Lanthimoses, your Ryusuke Hamaguchis, your...
you saw Evil, does that exist?
Yeah.
And then, so good.
And then, of course, there's the new things about like the winner Tiger Stripes, which was Sano. And then the, what else? Yeah, dame, diba? I mean...
And then, of course, yeah, the Wonka Wai stuff that came
the Wonka Wai stuff. And just really quick, no, since we're being timed, so I watched Chungking Express and Fallen Angels, and then it was so kind of, it was both heartening and also made me feel like the bad guy in Last Crusade withering away, you know, when I realized that most of the people in the theater are younger than the film. And as such, I'm imagining some of a fair number of them, this is their first time to see it. And it was so nice to see the jokes still work. The Kilig still works. Really appreciating how Tony Leung's introduction in Chungking Express is probably one of the best introductions in cinema. But the thing that was, for me, such a surprise was I had forgotten that The Fallen Angels was the 2020 restoration, which Wong Kar-wai made Kaliko. He changed the aspect ratio and then he changed the color grading of some of the scenes. So the final scene, the shootout, instead of being green, it's black and white na lang. And then some of the music cues are a little different also. But even just making it anamorphic, it was like the parallax is so much stronger because it's all wide lenses. And I was like,
does it work better?
I think so, yeah. It's just so much more slick. And it's like clean. Right? Parang, I was trying to remember the first time I watched these movies was like VCD. Pa nga eh. Was it that era? But anyway, great festival. And the schedule is up early and was accurate. The catalog
had in Tagalog. It was...
had Tagalog. I know. Yeah. Tagalog summer synopses, which
Phil wrote all of them.
Right. And, you know, parang I think him being added really helped in terms of like he's the head of pub. I joke that he's all of pub. But yeah, it was just, I think, very well oiled machine this time around.
Did you catch Quark's gigs? Quark, how many nights did you DJ?
No, He went for like 5 minutes and then left during the technical difficulties. No, I just had one. But there was a party every night. It was great. It was really, it's kind of become like, okay, Q Cinema is fast becoming, aside from Yogyakarta, the Southeast Asian film festival, I think. I mean, right now, Singapore Film Fest is happening. I mean, of course, you know, Singapore has more money than God, and so there's so much money being piled onto this film festival. But the curation of Q Cinema is actually better. It seems like, you know, there were so many Malaysian filmmakers. Amanda from Tiger Stripes was here. I think the director Jin Ong from Abang Adik, and, you know, like Isabel Sandoval was. There was a project market happening at the same time. So Jun Feng, who was one of the only Singaporeans to ever get into Cannes, was here, and the guys who did The Stone Turtle on Amazon Prime were here. So it was like very impressive how there was so much Southeast Asian representation. So
yeah,
galing.
It was mentioned in statistics na this year had the most visiting foreign filmmakers ever.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Isabel Sandoval was not even in the festival at all, but was there in the market. So, galing. And I think you had two big new additions. That was Phil, and that was Lisa Dino, formerly FDCP chair, was kind of like running the market. So, parang naging Avengers of local cinema. So,
and also I want to shout out si Phil and Jason Tan Liwag did all of the Q&As. Whenever there was one. So I think that also helped. Like, they kind of became recognizable faces representing the festival to a degree.
Nice. What about your movie highlights, Cork?
My movie highlights? Well, there's lots of stuff to love. So I was going to watch Fallen Angel Syndrome 1, and in my haste from rushing from Cubao X, I literally went to, instead of going to Robinson's Magnolia, I went to UP.
Oh my gosh.
So I ran into the theater and then I was like, why is Malcolm McDowell being interrogated? What is this? And it was like halfway through Clockwork Orange, but of course one of my favorite movies. So I was like, oh, I still had a grand old time. But maybe top three, Mimang. I love the Korean Before trilogy in one movie.
You know, the hair and makeup is so good. I did not realize it was the same lady character.
Me too.
Until Act 3. Like, holy crap. Galing talaga.
I was like, wow, are these variations on a theme? Galing. Mimang is great. And the Tiger Stripes I super love. And then Poor Things, of course, which
same.
We can talk about later on. But yeah, both not our favorite. I mean, Poor Things, for the both of us, not our favorite Yorgos. Mine actually might be my least favorite, but still really good.
Yeah, so same, those two highlights. I'll add also Tran Anh Hung's Taste of Things was amazing, much better than I thought it would be. I did not expect that one of the most emotional scenes in a movie for me this year was just watching Juliet Binoche eat quietly. That's it. And nakakaiyak siya. Ang galing. And then just to add also, I watched Enter the Dragon, which was so much fun. Like, there again, most of the people were there, some with their parents who saw the movie when it was originally out. But it was like everyone was laughing and having fun. Then I happened to watch it with Mick when we were walking out. Everyone was doing parang chop sake sounds. But unfortunately, it's a Clockwork Orange naman. Parang I don't think that in the screening I was at, I don't think a lot of people really got that it was supposed to be super black satire humor. Because like there was only a handful of people laughing and very rarely. So I was like, I don't think, maybe it's not flying over. And then some people literally were like, as we were walking out, they were like saying, I didn't like it. Yeah, why is this acclaimed? Parang gonna.
Oh my God.
Me and Mick were like, oh no.
It's night, you know, same in that. Like, I was laughing out loud, of course. Mm. But I think it Kintin, I was somewhere in the back and I could hear him laughing. But I don't know, talaga, parang wala, if you're on that witch hunt, right? You're not gonna like that film. Right? So it breaks my heart. It's such a masterpiece.
Bureaucracies and institutions was a little, I don't know, flying over or under the radar.
Wait, why was there a witch hunt? Do you think?
I mean, it's
mentality.
A woke nightmare, right? Like,
oh,
well,
it is.
Yeah. There's so much assault. There's so much.
Yeah.
You know.
And even though it's not, I think, naman it's not glorifying, but the absurdity, I think, will be too triggering for some people, diba? So, yeah. Anyway,
but yeah, it's such a good film. It's really like I was afraid it would be one of those, but now that I'm older, I see the fault in. But no, I fucking love it. Like I came in halfway, and I really want to watch it again, like fully, because I came in late. All right, yeah, perfect. 8 minutes.
Oh, my 2 minutes pa lang.
What about suggestions for next year? Ako, maybe a festival pass. I'd love to see it.
It wasn't there one this year, but it's one of those.
And I was looking at the website trying to see if there was like a advanced purchase card or something.
Because it's each mall has its own website, eh, diba? So you can advance purchase on each mall's website.
Which, yeah. So sana there's like a unified like deep card or something where you know.
That's a little tricky kasi with the senior discounts and the ano pa. And then pero in lieu of the festival pass, what I remember seeing on the website was you could exchange pa your 5 or 10 tickets for like swag. So there's merch you can buy. Yes. And then there's a bundle, a tote bag with like a shirt or a jacket with the 10 tickets. And then there's like other stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
so that's one of the things they did. Final story lang for me. I watched Irreversible Straight Cut. I don't know why I did that to myself.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
But the funny thing is, so I was seated center, slightly in the rear, and we could all hear the first scene because of the reverse order, right? Is the nude love scene basically between then husband and wife, Cassel and Bellucci. And then we could hear the projectionist window open kasi lumalakas bigla yung sound ng projector, di ba? And then the guy was apparently on the phone and was saying, halika dito, bilis mo! Sino ba to? Bilis! So parang tinatawag yung kumaro niya para makita yung hubad. Tumatawa kami tuloy.
Still titillating after all these years.
I forgot that there was a love scene.
Well, it becomes a tragic thing, diba? Because in the original version, it's at the end of the movie.
Yeah. So does it work better in like in order or not?
Oma, is it better linear or non-linear? No, linear or backwards or forwards?
Mas gusto ko yung forwards, actually.
Oh.
The backwards, and maybe this is age talking, no? But the backwards does feel very pastile, pa shock value.
Oh, so it even works, you think, narratively?
It's more tragic this way, I think.
It's less nakakainis for the girl. For females,
hopefully. I don't think so. It's still very, very a tough watch.
FYI, I just Googled Monica Bellucci's boyfriend and it's Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, yeah.
Wow. Grabe. Wow.
What a guy.
And still living with he's still living with I don't know, what's her name?
Who?
Helena?
They kind of like they have like a little passage. It's like kind of like houses na magkadikit and they have like one passage to the other, parang ganun.
Oh, I don't know.
I think she was talking about that in Conan na parang
Lord.
They don't really, but I think they were kind of still married but not really living together anymore. But
anyway, speaking of showbiz kachipan,
we gotta talk about Kathniel. We have to talk.
I don't know anything. Ramon doesn't know anything.
After 11 years, Daniel Padilla and Catherine Bernardo have broken up. And I think everybody's heartbroken. I think everybody's kind of shocked. No, not kind of shocked. Like, it's the news. There have been memes where it's like, walang pasok bukas, nag-break up yung Kathniel.
And it reached Singapore, right?
Yeah, no, everybody is talking about Kathniel. And I think
it reached Popbase, which is like a huge pop culture account on Twitter.
Hmm. But it's not like a complete shock in that there were sort of rumblings, diba?
There were rumblings. And I think yon parang yun nga, chismis about the side dish that one of them had. So I mean, it was being chismisified, but not too. It was during Q Cinema actually that I was hearing about it. So it was pretty much nipped in the bud by Catherine. And I think, you know, good
in
on her.
In a very classy statement, if I must say.
And she's like the preview cover, and she's the, you know, very good girl, like, what, 200 million pesos in the box office without Daniel Padilla. This is a victory lap for her. I think this is like, yeah, Nadine levels. It's very great watching all of these 2010s love teams.
They're all kaput.
Yeah, they're all kaput. And then one hasn't become public yet. Am I correct?
Yes, let's blind item that na lang.
So there is one more couple that has already broken up, and has broken up a while ago.
So it's like a Schrodinger's couple.
So I don't know.
Careful.
Yeah. I don't know. Parang now, how are you going to top the Cathedral breakup, right? Like, sorry na lang.
Are they the biggest love team of that era?
I thought it was Jadine, but it feels like it's Cathedral.
It feels it, no?
In terms of numbers, ito yata. Oh.
And I think it's because people are really invested in the couple itself. Like, they wanted.
Why? I don't.
Well, I mean, you know, like all of these showbiz love teams break up, and you just want to see one, you know, Nora and Tirso, and, you know, from.
Name one love team that's actually ended up together, apart from like Hyun Bin and Son Yeche.
Christopher De Leon and Vilma for a bit, no.
No, kailangan talagang everlasting love.
Yeah. Wala. I think in the
Philippines, why are people surprised that love teams don't last?
No, because of course you want to believe in true love, Mel.
I guess, but this is like this is her first boyfriend. So parang I can't believe that people were thinking this is gonna last. She was what, 16 when they
got together?
It was
an 11-year relationship. I mean, my God.
So they're not even 30. Wow.
If you've gotten past the 7-8-year mark, it's kind of like, yeah, this could be a thing. Or at least get married, right? Like, I mean, for example, the Aldab, aside from the cult.
Lol.
Who has fellowship.
Very scary cult.
Like, yeah,
tread carefully, please.
More or less, people. No, that's why people love us. That's why we get the numbers on Spotify Wrapped. And then aside from that, you have Jadine, and I think people were fans of James and Nadine. It seemed, but I maybe when the breakup happened, that was like, this feels like it would have happened. But aside from me, the last one, yeah. You know, I was hoping for a marriage at least, but you know.
Okay. That's too much to ask for in this.
11 years! Come on!
Quark, she was a child. They were both
children.
She's
28 now. Doesn't matter.
They were both what? 16 now when they got together. That's really nothing. They have so much lives to lead. What does your mom say? Is Catherine a bellow baby?
No, I think Danielle is.
Oh.
Catherine, I don't think is. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I actually haven't spoken. I talked to her this morning. I did not ask. I don't know why.
I think she's so gorgeous, though. I've never noticed her beauty until, like, the breakup announcement.
What?
Yeah. Because I was such a Nadine fan. And Liz also. But Liz tuloy Liza. Liza.
Oh, I was like, sino Liz?
Liz.
Kasi Liz Ken.
Manood ka ng Hello, Love, Goodbye.
Yeah, or I know the House of like, you know those freaking movies. She's the one who carries it. Like, I'm you know sorry to all.
Power lifter.
Yeah, like man, like sheer will alone.
Oh, tsaka super relatable. Parang ang galing ng ganong klaseng charisma. The parang every woman aspect.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think she's really more of the traditional rom-com lead who's very like quirky and always because Nadine has like a quietness about us, stuff like
she's not pang rom-com at all,
yeah, right, which is why she works also, Nadine, I think, because like when she gives that look of love, you feel like you've earned it as an audience, whereas Catherine talagang parang
I think so. Catherine parang has a Meg Ryan appeal in rom-coms.
Yeah, but there have been, you know, people thrown around as the side dish or the cause of the breakup.
Tisk tisk, because it takes two to tango, but we will wait for MJ Felipe.
Yeah, but the names, yes, there one name was basically someone who played his younger sister.
A tangled web.
Yeah, in
showbiz.
Let me fire up IMDb.
And the fans have been posting pictures both of Catherine and this person, and Danielle and this person. There's like a freaking montage of him kissing her on the forehead from other old TV shows.
Isang dish lang.
I don't know. Then there's another one. So there's another one.
On Twitter, it alleges, that he's had many dishes.
Yes.
Oh.
You know what's funny? His letter of announcement also, a bunch of replies are like, did Robin Padilla write this drivel?
Oh. Oh no, is it like dramatic?
Parang, I don't know. I actually didn't find anything wrong with it except for the lack of punctuation marks and, you know, just stop in every phrase, but not as nice as Catherine's, for sure.
Oh, super classy.
But ang galing, no? I mean, you gotta give it to the fans. Like, they fucking track who unfollows whom on Instagram.
It's crazy.
May apps yan eh.
Really?
Yeah. How do you Yes, ano ba? Did you mapapansin yung mga K-pop stans?
I assume they just look at like they're
curious. What, every day, every person? Yeah. Naka-ano yan? May mga ano yan? May mga parang
alert.
Keywords. Oh,
who has unfollowed blank?
Yeah.
Okay. The other person being thrown around was actually a cast member of A Very Good Girl. They have not unfollowed each other.
Yeah, parang she's like collateral damage, right? Like she's nasangkot lang.
Yeah, so we shall see. More to be revealed by...
Yeah, we're trying to get an interview with this person, eh, diba?
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about Triangle of Sadness. Ah, hindi dali. Okay.
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 Let's talk about Marvel.
Why? Must we...
Ayo, must be kajan ikaw yung nagsabi na we have to do this.
Funny thing today, I saw a Jodie Foster interview.
Pucha, akala ko naman. I was like, she's here.
Well, I wish.
She's in the Marvel Universe.
She actually commented on the Marvel Universe and said that this is not why I became an actor. And she's saying it, you know, the comic book movies are a phase and thank God it's over, soon over. But she does like a few.
Everyone's saying it's done, no? Like, wow. How quick to, you know? How quick to proclaim based on...
Marty was the parang death knell, or parang the harbinger of death, right, for the MCU. He said it in 2019. So it's been like 4 years since that time.
Well, he didn't say it would die. He just said that like...
No, he didn't say it would die. He just says it's not cinema.
Oh, okay, but people have been saying that even from the first movie. So it doesn't... It's just that, you know, wala namang causative relationship yung Marty saying that and then people conspiring to make sure that Marvel goes down.
I don't think it's not a conspiracy, but parang we're here after 4 years of the gulo of the whole Martin Scorsese comments on comic book movies.
Pero yung gulo rin naman kasi is it's really outlets trying to get clickbait, eh, diba? Parang every time he's out to promote anything, basically, they'll bring it back to that.
You also have Joe Russo who makes patol.
Oh, yeah.
And James Gunn, but
yeah, diba? Pero syempre.
Yeah.
They ask him. Eh. It's like every time Alan Moore is out promoting a new book, they'll ask him about comments that he made about Hollywood how many years ago. Because it's the only thing that they know will generate certain clicks.
Yeah, but just in case you don't know, dear listener, what's happening? The Marvels did not do as well as they thought. They actually tracked it low, which was like 80 million, right? Versus the
below 80, like 60.
And then it ended up making like 40 or something.
In the first week.
The first weekend. So, I don't know. I think so far it's made like 190 million, which of course is nothing to laugh at, but much
is that 190 worldwide or just domestic?
Yeah, global. Uh-oh.
Holy cow, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and then what's the budget? I'm guessing 250 or something, right?
Like, that is not good.
But there's also there's additional context, which is the film that none of the stars could promote. It was still under the strike until right after, I think it had come out na. And then they're also not taking into account things like Black Widow or what's the other one that did, some of the pandemic films that didn't have theatrical releases, right? And it did feel like instead of like the other major movies that were supposed to come out, like Dune 2, etc., they were all moved to next year. And then this one wasn't. So it was kind of left sort of stranded. It had the pressure of trying to carry box office, but, you know, as mentioned, none of them could promote it. They also tried to sort of, there was a sort of disparaging article about Nia DaCosta, you know, having to start her next film while Post was ongoing, as if that never happened all the time regularly among these kinds of big blockbuster movies. So,
and you have the fanboys and incels, like, you know, just wanting to proclaim.
Oh, and they were against this one from the very beginning, right? As soon as it was announced as Marvel's and not Captain Marvel 2, and et cetera, et cetera. It's like they already are angry at, you know, an unsmiling Brie Larson, and then you add a black lady and then a Muslim teen to the mix. It's like, you know, that was really.
I have
really,
a question. Why do they hate Brie Larson so much? Would they love Miss Marvel, the Marvels, or Captain Marvel more if it wasn't her?
They always compare her to Gal Gadot, which is like Gal Gadot plays the girl card, quote unquote, which is supposedly, you know, parang being charming, being very, you know, self-deprecating.
Oh, so they want her more guy like that.
Brie Larson is like
show more breasts, parang ganon.
Yeah, no, and then more, no, like Chris Hemsworth will say like, oh, you're the next Tom Cruise, you do all your stunts, and like, no, I'm the first me. Thank you very much. I mean, combative see Brie Larson in that very like I do not want to be interviewed if a white male is sits across me in the interview, I will not do the interview. May ganon siya. So I think that even pissed off incels and fanboys even more, but. So, and they made, there's like a lot of YouTube videos where it's basically why the rest of the MCU hates Brie Larson. And it's literally like clip collections of people like Don Cheadle like rolling their eyes.
Oh my gosh. That's horrible.
I know. I love Brie. So, you know.
Yeah, it's basically that she's a feminist, I guess. Na, you know, won't take shit about and stupid questions. But they would love, you know, a more laughy, smiley.
A more tweetums, Captain Marvel. Okay. Yeah. Now I get it.
So there. So, I mean, I guess it's also in the wake of like Quantumania, which seems to be the universally most hated Marvel film.
Yeah. And also, I think on the heels of the worst Marvel show. Now, I think Quark didn't even bother finishing, di ba?
Yeah.
Because it's so one ep left.
It is Secret Invasion, in case you guys were wondering.
Yeah. So there. But it does seem like even the quote-unquote good stuff, except for Guardians of the Galaxy, it does seem like people are not as interested, right? Like Loki just came out. Even the stuff last year, right? Like the Doctor Strange movie, which we loved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wakanda.
Oh. Which is divisive, apparently.
Apparently, I was very surprised. I was like, really? I thought it was a good film.
In sales pa rin yan.
Yeah. You know, it's come to the point where all my hardcore Marvel fan friends, like the people who just watch Marvel stuff, are no longer following the Marvel stuff. But here we are, the three of us, still fucking watching it because we are quote unquote pop culture critics. Pop culture critics.
Yeah, well, I would still be watching it. I don't think it's happened yet. It came really close with the Secret Invasion, but since it was six episodes, you know, parang some cost fallacy na yan eh. Diba na parang, are they gonna be able to somehow save this by the end? But no. Yeah, and then, you know, I'm also reviewing the films. So, you know, I'm in the seat already for Quantumania. Of course, I was curious about things like Bill Murray being added or Total Waste. And, you know, I still like that cast, kahit paano.
We had Guardians. Guardians this year was better than 2.
Yeah, well, yeah, Guardians is, pero it feels like talagang a swan song for Gunn, di ba? It was, and like Marvel's, was not very connected, thankfully, to MCU, like, basic lore or whatever, di ba? Na you only had to know a certain amount, even though all of Infinity War and Endgame happened between 2 and 3. So, but it was also a wrapping up there as he exited, right? And some of those characters aren't going to be around anymore.
Yeah, true. So what went wrong in your opinion? Like, so what's causing the problem?
Well, I'll add lang some more context now, because there were two major front cover features about the problems at Marvel. One at Variety, dama, and then like a few, maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, Time Magazine. And I don't know, like, have you guys read either or both?
No.
I've read both.
I don't know if it's conspiracy theorist me, but it kind of felt like a plant.
Yeah, it's like a hack job. The Time one more than the Variety one.
It felt like Disney actually wanted to sabotage Marvel's brand more, parang to kind of get the creatives spanked. Wow.
And they're putting what's her face under the bus, the post production head.
Victoria Alonso.
Yes.
Yeah. Isa pa yan, oo. And then,
because she made Argentina 1985.
And she got into trouble with that.
Yeah. So, yikes.
But there were things kasi in those articles that have been refuted. My favorite was someone said, like, the reason though that the Blade movie hasn't even begun is because at a certain point though, the working script, Blade wasn't even the main character anymore. He was like the fourth build character. And I'm like, how is that possible? Diba? And one of the writers on Twitter came out and refuted that. And it's like, this makes no sense. It at no point was Blade, you know, of the movie Blade, the fourth build character in his solo movie. So parang yun nga, there are some things that really came across as like, this is too ridiculous not to be true. And that's why I felt like, and even the things like they were asking the Basila, Chris Evans, Downey Jr. and Scarlett Johansson though to come back for the original Avengers or whatever. And even that just stank of desperation. It actually felt like Disney were floating ideas just to see,
to test the water.
Diba? Kasi parang, it's also so, even if that was true, sobrang embarrassing talaga kung mangyayari yan, diba?
Does anyone in this room want that to happen?
No.
I mean, it's possible with the multiverse, right? But no.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, again, no. I think that's honestly, that's, if you were asking what do you think went wrong, I think that the focus on the multiverse is the next threat, diba? That isn't as easy to reduce as just saying, here's Thanos, he wants to kill half the universe. Pero when you say, oh, it's the multiverse, and it's like, you know, there's infinite versions of everyone, and there's a guy named Kang, and then blah, blah, blah. That's the part that I think is losing people. But that's just the macro sense. The individual films themselves have also been struggling. But what do you guys think, Muna?
I honestly think there's just too much content. Like, they stretch the TV, they release 5 shows in a year, and then 3 movies in a year. There's too much. Magsasawa yung tao.
And I think, the big Feige mistake, I think, was because, you know, basically, even before you had S.H.I.E.L.D., you had Daredevil, you had Agent Carter, right? But except for Daredevil, I didn't watch the other things, and I felt safe every theatrical experience. It's okay, I don't need to know that. But you watch Doctor Strange now, and it's like, why is Scarlet Witch suddenly a villain? And yeah. Oh, because you have to watch WandaVision, you know, like, or why is this person in space? Oh, because you have to watch Secret Invasion. So parang ano, like, again, like, the number, which is of course the number one problem of Star Wars, and the reason I have not seen anything Star Wars since Andor, is because there's so much homework, right? Like, so that's one thing also.
Just to add some context here, no. The thing is, because that was when one of the Marvel execs named Ike Perlmutter was still there, and he was the racist, sexist jerk basically. And then of course the Netflix Marvel shows, they were their own thing. Jeff Loeb was the exec in charge there. He was the one handling those. He was also the one in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. And even though S.H.I.E.L.D. had actually some crossovers, because Sif was there, so was Sam Jackson and Maria Hill. They were in certain episodes. They never really behaved as if it was canon, diba? Same thing with the Netflix Marvel stuff. And lalo na yung Hulu shows like Cloak and Dagger, which was actually Freeform, and then The Runaways, which is three seasons on Hulu, and no one cared about it. No one mentioned it ever. Pero it was when Perlmutter left, and then Disney Plus was a thing, and then it all was going to go under Feige na. But I also agree with Mel. Now, what happened is he got stretched way too thin. Diba? Yeah. It was more manageable, even as a studio, because if you're the head of Marvel Studios, but you're only putting out 3 movies a year, your average studio head has like 18 movies theatrically a year to worry about. If you're only worrying about 3, then you can handle that. And he also had the creative committee with sila Bendis, Fraction. They've done away with that committee already.
Oh, wala na silang brain trust.
Yeah, that's been gone a while now, I think right after Infinity War. And then one of the big reveals, though, that does sort of sound like it's believable from the features is wala pala silang showrunners the whole time in the traditional sense for the shows.
That's so ridiculous, right?
Diba? But, and yet, WandaVision was great, diba? And then I think Hawkeye was great. There have been some really good shows, but it does feel like what the hell was Secret Invasion. It felt like one writer from Mr. Robot got promoted to showrunner, but it's not necessarily their wheelhouse.
Even Loki, right? Wild Run was off Loki na when season 2 came around, and then they got the Moon Knight guys, Benson and Moorhead, who are directors. They kind of like... Actually, Ms. Marvel pa nga yung my real showrunner, diba? Or head writer at least. But yeah, parang...
And pero with Loki kasi it's been magulo eh. Like Waldron was still involved because apparently it was designed to be 2 seasons lang. So it really is book 1, book 2 and then end. Pero because of Quantumania's reception and I guess the problems also with your favorite actor Jonathan Majors, the writer of Quantumania who's supposed to write the next 2 Avengers movies, he's no longer writing those. I think it's now under Waldron, who is the Loki creator, developer, and showrunner of season 1 at least. And then the directors, Benson Moorhead of Loki, they're now trying to save the Daredevil Born Again, which apparently it was almost done, but when Feige saw it, he was not happy with what he saw, and he said, start over, like, we can't use this. So parang, that's a huge decision, but I'll credit them, diba? Better that than putting out something that is crap, I guess. If it really feels like you want to do something deserving of the actors that you convinced to return, fine, diba?
Was it the original Daredevil showrunner who was doing season 3?
I don't know if it was if it was Steven DeKnight bayon or just the season 3 of the Netflix show parang coming back.
Is it the same actor?
Yes, it's Charlie Cox and si Vincent D'Onofrio. The way he showed up sa
the end Hawkeye.
Of Hawkeye. And he's a big part of the Echo show, which is in January.
One knows what Echo is about.
This is the funny thing, right? Like, because one of the Marvel fixes was, we're going to do stuff that's not out of the continuity. So you can just focus on this as a standalone. And it's going to be called Marvel Spotlight. And the first is going to be Echo. Echo was introduced in Hawkeye featuring a villain who has been very present in Daredevil. This is your standalone show, but we'll see. I have high hopes for
And in the comics, Echo was introduced in Daredevil talaga, di ba? So, pero isa pa yan. So here's why I'm worried about Echo. Of course, the incels are already all over it kasi a female was disabled because she's deaf, and then third, she's also Native American, and then it's the first show that Disney Plus is doing full season drop, not weekly, and it's January, and then there's barely any promotion so far, and it's already December,
no,
and the strike has been lifted and still nothing. So I don't know what's going on there. Apparently they're leaving it out to dry.
Yeah. Let's look at other problems. Do you guys think there are too many characters we don't care about?
Yes.
Like Harry Styles and Kit Harington.
I mean, it's not that I don't care. It's that, someone pointed this out. They keep introducing threads to dangle, and then there's no return.
Yeah. Are you talking about the Eternals, where no one's discussing these giant things protruding out of Earth in like 4 movies already?
But also, but like the what used to happen is the post-credits tag would be about the next movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not been happening in so long. Diba parang, they introduced Hercules at the end of, you know, of Love and Thunder. So, spoilers, guys. Pero, you know, parang, when are we gonna get any return on that? Parang, these guys are not, you know, frozen in cryogenic sleep. Diba? They're, especially like whoever played Sprite in Eternals is probably an adult, full adult na by now. And then...
But again, who was Kit Harington again?
Black Knight.
Yeah. Okay.
He's
yeah.
Black
he was
Knight.
Introduced where?
In Eternals.
Eternals.
Oh, yeah.
The end.
Fucking hell.
No, no, he was throughout, but they didn't reveal that he is Black Knight until the end.
And then Harry Styles was also there, right? Like, in the end.
And, I know, Patton Oswalt, diba?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then, yeah, and then we'll go through that.
Also, Shang-Chi. When's the Shang-Chi sequel coming? Because I thought that was a fun film.
There's at least some development there because Destin Cretton, who was supposed to direct Avengers, said, I'm not going to do Avengers. I'm just going to focus on Shang-Chi 2. So that's still happening.
Good on you.
And the end of the end credits of the post-credits tag of Shang-Chi was him basically being recruited to the Avengers, diba?
So, I don't know. It seems like with all of the stuff, so supposedly ang dami next year, right? There was like Thunderbolts, or Captain America, New World Order. It seems like there's going to be Blade, but it seems like it's only Deadpool.
Walang Blade. No way lalabas.
Yeah, Blade's not coming until a very long time.
I think Cap is still on the schedule. Okay. I have not heard... I don't think Thunderbolts has started shooting yet, so that might still be pushed. Because of this parang quote-unquote crisis where they're re-examining their things.
Oh, the WandaVision spinoff.
Agatha.
Sapayan. Well, I've seen the first featurette has come out, but that's definitely also next year.
And a question, my friends. Do you think that being on TV has cheapened certain characters?
Yes.
Okay.
It's diluted the characters. Absolutely.
Pero which ones would you say? I know my answer here, pero Falcon, you think?
No, because I did like Falcon and Winter Soldier, but it feels like now that, they're small screen guys now. And now that I think New World Order is going to be a movie, it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to, you know. Same with Thunderbolts, right? Like, actually, who gives a shit about Thunderbolts, to be honest?
Ako, my hot take is Loki. Like, I wish the second season didn't happen. I'm so sorry.
Wow. Those are the opposite of
law.
Pero I guess we can address that later when we actually talk about the show. Sa akin kasi, for me, it's actually si Nick Fury talaga yung being in that show.
Oo nga, also him. Jeez, hindi na siya angas for me.
He used to be the coolest motherfucker.
He is not the coolest mofo anymore in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Kasi gets ko pa yung Captain America. Actually, what I'm curious about with Cap 4, diba, is it's about Republicans, I think, basically not accepting a black Captain America. That's an interesting hook for me. Thunderbolts, since I know the premise of the comic, and that's interesting to me. Although the way the characters have been introduced, I can understand why there's no enthusiasm or excitement or even recognition. Diba?
Yeah, who are that? There's new U.S. agent who is John, what's his face?
See, Wyatt Russell.
Okay, yeah. He was supposed to be Captain America in Captain America, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
He's a U.S. agent.
Yeah, so who else is there? There's...
See, Ghost from... Do you remember this character? The bad guy from Ant-Man 2?
Oh my
then
gosh.
There's Taskmaster from Scarlet Witch.
Oh my God.
So, and then of course, see Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who I would of course be there for. And then, sino pa ba? See, I think Winter Soldier is there, right?
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Who's who of who?
Wow. And terrible. And then for TV, supposedly Ironheart. I don't know. Again, like
she was in Wakanda.
Pang TV talaga yung Ironheart. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't
gets
really,
ko naman.
Yeah.
Parang that it does feel like a TV character. Yung Loki kasi, you finished naman semi spoilery to, but Mel finished Loki season 2, right?
Yeah. I did in my haze of coughing and colds.
And they've spoken already about how basically that's it na. So I don't feel like it's diluted naman because hindi na siya babalik to the movies as far as they are concerned.
And as far as Hiddleston's concerned,
he was smart and said, I can never say never because you never can tell, diba? With these things, he's probably under contract, I guess that means. Pero it's such a decent ending na, if you want to move to that. Na. Pero actually, there's some comments na recent from Iger na, diba? Parang he's been saying yun nga, that the quantity over quality has been a problem, that the shows are... What you guys said, na it's diluting the strength of the brand, and that in the case of the Marvels, there was not enough executives now on set, which is such a stupid thing to say.
And Neil Gaiman actually said that, ano, diba? Parang, as someone who developed a graveyard book with them, that has never been the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the suits.
Oh, God. Terrible. Is there anything... Oh, sorry. One more thing that could be ruining the Marvel Universe, which is something we already talked about. Let's be kind and just say Kang.
The character or the actor?
Right? Maybe both.
But I can't wait to get into Loki after.
Parang wait and see yung as far as majors, because the case is beginning pa lang and it hasn't
been
dismissed.
The case is beginning, but there's so many plaintiffs right now.
Including someone who worked on Loki, right? Like a stunt person who was dating
him.
He's
like a walking assault.
Grabe to. Yeah.
Well, like, that's why they have to figure it out.
In your opinion, do they get rid of Kang or do they just replace Jonathan
Please
Majors?
Just get rid of this ridiculous Kang storyline that I can't even follow anymore.
Okay. How about you?
Ako also, I've never liked Kang even in the comics, honestly. Mm-hmm. And he's such a cold character na, you know, it's like high evolutionary also. Like, as much as I love Chukwudi, that guy was just screaming and just bad for bad sake. I mean, it's not very interesting. Mm-hmm. What I would really like to see, I guess, but syempre, it's not like I need this or I'm going to be angry. You know, I'm not that kind of Star Wars nerd to each other. But I'm not that kind of nerd. But parang I wouldn't mind if they actually just concentrated on like introducing Fantastic Four now in a really good way. Have the Fantastic Four universe kind of present. They have them on their universe threats, diba? If you do Galactus right, that could be an Avengers movie already.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think? Are they going to go with that route? It seems like they're going to do X-Men bamuna.
Yeah, I think, they're going to experiment with Deadpool 3, I think. They're going to see how people react. That's another reason I'm not really looking forward to Deadpool 3, besides Sean Levy, but... Parang movie-wise, in terms of MCU, I think mas along in development yung Fantastic Four.
Yeah. So, because getting rid of Kang would kind of be like a glaring mistake. I mean, it would be like, yeah, these guys fucked up.
It would be embarrassing. But wouldn't you rather that admit to your mistake than commit more movies to this?
No, I'm just saying John David Washington could be a good...
The character does not work. Quark, this whole storyline is... I don't know if I felt like I was stupid watching Loki. I just couldn't understand what was going on half the time.
Yeah, okay, we shall get to Loki. So, okay. Noted. Yeah, maybe just Doctor Doom or something.
See, people know Doctor Doom.
Yeah, at least there's that recognition.
Put him in, coach.
Yeah.
But I really hope that the... really prioritize going back to the scripts, diba? Thinking about how those really need to be the foundation before pulling the trigger on any rash decisions.
Sorry, before we move on to Loki, I've been wanting to ask you guys, what did you think was left in the cutting room floor with the Marvels?
Oh, let's go to the Marvels.
We haven't even talked about the Marvels.
Let's talk about the Marvels. Yeah.
Right. But did you think a whole movie was chopped out?
I think the first act was chopped. It felt like, honestly, it was like, oh man, this isn't testing well. Let's just make it all action scenes and kind of like have everyone breeze through it in an hour and 30 minutes. That's what it felt to me like.
So half the movie's in a trash bin, pretty much. And we're left with this skeleton.
I mean, it feels like that. I don't know. I haven't read naman yung background on.
Kasi when I was watching Park Seo-joon's vlogs, he was in London for a month's worth of shooting.
Hmm. I do feel like that sequence was longer.
Yeah, what do I don't know what to feel about the PSJ.
It's terrible. As a fan, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Also, like if their language is music, how come he has an accent? Of course, stupid shit like that. That's what he's like. Or weren't they singing while they fight? And
they did not think this through, obviously, right? This whole singing, bursting into song.
They mentioned na may ano eh, may exception.
Yeah, he can speak another language, right? That's the wink, wink.
Oh, bilingual siya because he speaks English and song.
And
but song. How come he has an accent for both? But anyway, you see, you know, you think of shit like that when the movie is just stupid, right? So that was what I was preoccupying myself with. But yeah, I mean, also the villain, right? Like, who apparently is Tom Hiddleston's wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So same week yung Marvel's and Loki finale.
Oh my.
Yeah. So they had a
she was a very weak villain.
Yeah, because you didn't know who she was. Like, I thought,
wait, so I'm the only one ba here who liked the movie?
I mean, it's okay. I gave it a 2.5.
Well, you 2.5 out of 5. That's not great, man.
That's not great.
That's a
failing. I also gave it 2.5. It's better than Quantumania, but
parang I'd probably give it like a 3. Pero yes, I agree. I mean, I mentioned that also in my review na one of the weakest villains ever, basically.
I really thought, I was like, shit, I need to watch Captain Marvel again because I forget who this person is. Yun pala, she's not there.
There, yeah. And the thing is, she's just an accuser. She's another accuser, which is what Ronan was. From the first Guardians, diba? Si Lee Pace. So it's like, step one feels like it should be, how do you differentiate this accuser from the last accuser that we had? So,
well, and she's female. That's
it's pa yan, diba? That's kind of worse. Na parang, yeah, we're not even gonna bother giving this person a different character. And you know what? Lee Pace is in full face colored makeup. You can just be your normal color.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I mean, sa akin kasi, I did enjoy the movie. It's definitely not S-tier or God-tier Marvel. Pero, I guess also because it came in the heels of Quantumania and Secret Invasion, Guardians notwithstanding, at least it was like fun. At least for me, I liked the chemistry of the three and the action scenes where had the camera actually moving. And I liked the limitation they had with the powers, making them warp or teleport or whatever, and then
that was cool.
Yeah, they had the whole training montage. It felt earned naman na. They figured out how to fight and it became their bonding thing. The parts that I found, besides the villain being very uninteresting, the part that I found sort of weird is the fact na parang so much was built in terms of the first Captain Marvel, which made $1 billion, but made such a threat of the Supreme Intelligence that it felt weird na she took it out in a flashback. And also, a more interesting note, she basically did war crimes.
Yeah, she was fucking genocide.
Yeah, diba? And that's why it made it very timely when it came out.
I was quite shocked that they had that storyline for her.
Yeah, here's some colonizers, some occupiers, especially the Skrull refugees, diba? Damn, suddenly this is much more topical.
She's like Manifest Destiny right there.
Yeah, and then parang it's like, why are you guys bitching about like not visiting the mom in the hospital when she literally was the cause of death of millions?
She decided on her own that she was just going to obliterate this civilization.
And it's like, oh my God.
So she doesn't take orders, right?
No, she doesn't. But it's like, definitely when you depose a tyrant, there's a lot of consequences to the little people that you're not thinking about. So I kind of wish that they went a little more into the detail instead of it just being the reason of her being emo alone in space. So
That would have been better and more relatable also.
Diba? Because genuinely, they're good performers din eh. Like, I really like the scene where they finally have it out. See auntie and niece, diba? Na, and of course, it's super... Siyempre, unfortunately, Monica Rambeau's storyline kasi she's not even third billing in WandaVision, diba? So, so...
I had to ask Mong, who is she? Who is this person?
You didn't... You don't remember?
I could not remember her.
Someone messed with your memory, maybe? Pero maganda yung trauma, diba? In terms of narrative sense na she blipped and her mom passed while she was gone. So... And then when she comes back, she has to catch up to all these things. And then she kind of blames my abandonment issues. That was a nice confrontation. Like, you could feel the emotions. And it actually set up the sacrifice in a way that I thought was all right. Pretty decent. Even if the marketing was bad, they were really making it into a whole, this is the beginning of the multiverse because we messed up Quantumania. Parang ganun.
But I mean, like, if I'm grateful for anything, it's just that because of this, I had to watch Ms. Marvel, which was, as you both knew, because you had both seen it, great. But yeah, then it seems like there was big course correction in the sense that they figured out that Kamala Khan actually was the big...
It's
a star, right? Yeah, and then so...
The most magnetic personality there.
So they kind of like centered it around her and her family. Again, also like...
Siya yung may supporting cast.
who are not freaking out like they should. So yun, pero... Yeah, there was like so many forced things, I feel. And even that thing where they were just like using that device to read each other's minds, and that was their way of recapping things, parang quote unquote. That's like grabe ito, ang
there's flashback after flashback.
and you know, yeah, of course, not dealing with the fact that, well, if you're the most powerful being in the universe, but you're a Louisiana girl at heart or whatever, and you were the cause of genocide, like, yeah, they didn't bother to really think that through, right? Then character wise, so. Ayon, parang yeah, I wasn't that big a fan.
No one's gonna say the word reparations, diba?
How about you, Mel?
I completely agree with you guys. It just, you know, there are good parts and there are bad parts, but for me, the bad parts just outweigh all the good parts altogether. You're also not mentioning the amazing styling of Brie Larson, which caused a few headlines.
Oh, what was this? Her eyebrows?
Her tank top and her sports bra, whatever. I had to Google what she was wearing because she looked so good in that tank top. In tank tops in general.
That made that sports bra sell out. Like, they had...
Yeah. It's an $84 bra and it sold out.
She looked great. And yeah, but there were some parts where she was a motor. Then like, yeah, this is obviously, you're doing this in the volume. You guys didn't workshop this. It's just like, now it's time for me to cry. Parang ganun. And so.
Yeah. And you know, I was watching Lessons in Chemistry alongside the, you know, prepping for the Marvels and stuff. And parang medyo one note si Maring Brie right now with the crying stuff, with her crying face.
Oh, yeah.
The flickering eye and then. The stoic face and then the tears just gonna flow down. It's damn it, Brie, what happened?
So I take it that hindi recommended.
No, I think it's a good comfort watch. It has its fans. I know the Watch Boys hate it, but I it's not the worst show on TV. You know what the worst show is? Squid Game, The Challenge. But anyway.
Secret Invasion.
So are we? Oh, wait, let's talk about the epilogue. We have to. Something that I am kind of excited about. Which I feel should have been what they meant to be the first epilogue, but they just literally just tacked it on at the very end, is the formation of the Young Avengers, right? Like, that's something that's kind of exciting. Who would they be? So there's... And I noticed, yeah, I also thought... So Stature is...
They mentioned Stature in the... You know, but see, Kamala says, did you know Ant-Man has a daughter?
Okay. Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. So the problem is, however, it does feel like it's the same mold of person if they do form Young Avengers. So you have Ms. Marvel, who's like, you know, super fangirl. Oh my God, I'm in my idol, Captain Marvel. And then you have you can see Hawkeye, who's kind of the same, and then you'll have Stature, who's literally the Disney Channel, the most Disney Channel of all of them, and it's kind of the same. Is America going to be part of Young Avengers?
Dapat.
Yeah, America from
Doctor Strange.
Who is the same person also.
That's true. They're all perky girls.
And maybe Black Widow, who is great.
She's in Thunderbolts.
Oh, so she's in Thunderbolts.
See Yelena, see okay. Florence, yes.
Where are the boys in the Young Avengers?
Well, it's because the twins, they don't really show up much in WandaVision, right? I mean, not in the age that you want to. And then the character is there in Cap, but they never really gave much time to him. See Isaiah. And
which
then,
one was he?
Oh, the
teen who looks after the original Black Captain America.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Falcon and Winter Soldier. That was a good subplot. Basically, that the first person they experimented the super soldier serum with was an African American. Yeah.
But that's based on a comic, Kyle Baker.
Is Shuri going to be in Young Avengers?
Parang no, I think full Avengers. She's the new Black Panther, eh, diba?
So that's it.
So Wiccan's gonna be there. Okay.
Well, Wiccan and Hulkling are supposed to be the twins.
So yeah, but yun lang. It's like the fur of the same person.
Oh, nga. That's a very good point.
If they go back to the comics, it would be interesting kasi medyo rich snob si Hawkeye, di ba? Yung character ni Kate Bishop is like privileged la generational
Upper East Side,
wealth.
Right? Upper East or West?
So that should be a fun, like, as opposed to, you know, Muslim teen, na Jersey, yeah. Tapos... I guess West Coast si Cassie Lang.
Is Ironheart gonna be in?
Activista. Ayun, actually Ironheart might be, but
who's
getting their show? But she was never in a Young Avenger in the comics.
Oh my gosh, they're all women. Well, yeah. Good luck, incels. Your worst nightmares about coming.
I feel so bad that.
I know. See, Young Loki.
Okay.
If they do that, I don't know if they'll pull that trigger. But he was in the end of season one, diva.
Anyone from Thor, from the Thor movies, representing?
They could add the daughter of Thor if they wanted. But another woman, oh no.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a God.
Oh no.
And then who are the Avengers now? It's still Black Panther, it's
Doctor Strange,
Thor, Strange,
Captain America.
Is Spider-Man still? What are the licensing rights right now? I can't even keep track.
I think that's still.
But probably they'll keep it. I mean, that's one of the sure things. Eh?
So Tom is still going to be Spider-Man?
Probably.
Okay. Yay. I mean,
they all like each other. It's just going to be about money at the end in terms of just...
Yeah, Shang-Chi is going to be in Avenger?
Oh, right. Who could forget besides everyone?
Yeah. Okay.
Not Simu, that's for sure.
And then the second post credits, of course, is the appearance of what the fuck was that?
Were you expecting X-Men to be dealt with?
No, I thought honestly it was going to be Fantastic Four, maybe.
F4, okay.
Yeah. Because that was their, and I think Feige knows this, of course. Everybody.
That's your alas.
That's the alas. And they're like, what? And then you bring back Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, and not even Nicholas Holt, diba, who just became Lex Luthor. Yeah. But it's Frasier Beast.
Shit. So
what did I read today that Patrick Stewart was going to reprise his role as blah blah blah?
Maybe in Deadpool.
Yeah.
Not in Marvel.
Because my TVA is a Deadpool, but they actually run into Mobius, and I think Kiwei Kwan will be there. I did like though the use of Lashana Lynch coming back as Binary. That was a nice one. That was a nice moment.
The character is really Binary in the comic. I mean, it's Rambo's mom who is Binary, or
no, it was really Danvers who was a Binary at one point. Pero so that's an interesting wrinkle. Pero maganda lang na they at least got that nice emotional moment na yung shock of waking up and then your mom's alive.
Yeah.
But not your mom, di ba?
Yeah.
Pero maganda rin yung reaction niya, which is the audience reaction, like, what the fuck? Kasi diba, yun nga, that's always the problem with multiverses. It's like, if it's infinite, And diba, then there's no parang value. It doesn't matter.
It's such a cop-out. It's a narrative cop-out.
Yeah, you have to always focus on character with a multiverse story. That's why the Spider-Verse films get to do it right. It's not about which universe will survive. It's about, without this particular element, this is how bad your life could have gone pala.
Mm.
Diba? Those are the parts that
consequences.
Hit home. Yes, parang emotion. We need emotional content.
Okay. You can breeze through Loki. So why didn't you like Loki? Why did you not?
Number one, I really hate the multiverse already. Like my brain cannot grasp it. I don't know why. I'm just spacing out every time they're like, you know, mentioning whatever, the trimming this whatever vein. I'm like, I'm done. I'm over this. Number two, Kang is really such a big problem for me right now. He's not appealing as a villain. I don't understand the motives anymore. And number three, I felt that it was so far from the Loki I knew from the movies, where he's like the god of mischief. And, you know, he was so appealing as the god of mischief. But here he's so serious and trying to save the world. And I just was not into the show.
I'm mixed. I love the ending.
The ending was great.
It feels like they just kept on stretching it so much.
Correct.
Like, yeah, that side with the, like, parang going back to the ye old times with the last black man from San Francisco.
Probably the last movie I like Jonathan Majors in.
He's just reprising that role.
But, you know, he reminded me of Tom Hardy, but in that costume. Parang talking like Tom Hardy. I'll put on a Tom Hardy accent.
I'm going to be a nice man. But I love Kiwi Kwan. I loved them. I wasn't so into Sylvie actually in Loki 1, but I was very much into Sylvie here. So yeah, it's mixed bag for me. Like, my happiness is that it feels like they actually did kill Loki, just pun intended. They Loki killed the Kang storyline.
Is it really gone? Oh gosh.
Yeah. I mean, they could stop here. Diba? Parang basically it's like, oh well, because
they gave themselves an out.
So yeah. And without asking Jonathan Majors permission, basically they were like, well, now that Loki is the master of the timeline, we don't have to deal with the Kang variants anymore. But okay, go Roman.
Well, I think just to speak to what Mel said, Loki seems so different. I think that is the point, though. Like, it's the growth from this mischievous, parang petulant, immature character. That's why I really like his last lines, which were Hiddleston's idea, are the last lines that he says to Odin in Thor 1.
Mm.
What does he say?
I know what kind of god I need to be for everyone. Parang ganon. And then sinabihan siya ng directors pala na parang 15 minutes before they shot that final scene, which they kind of knew and understood would be the final appearance of Loki in the MCU, parang they told Hiddleston, this is going to be your last na, so have a think about what you want to say. And then that's what, you know, that's what he remembered nga, is those last lines to Odin. And parang that's why I think so many people really like that ending. It felt so appropriate and correct. Is parang it was his culmination into becoming a benevolent god, parang the character that he, the god he needed to nga be, right? Which is not selfish, na you are actually in service to other people, and he is willing to thus, but the most selfish person becomes the one who sacrifices himself, which is also, you know, like Avengers 1. It's a great thing that always sort of theme that always works, but you take the crap person and then they get the hero grace note, parang ganon. I've mentioned when it came out na the funny thing though is like both in Marvel's and Loki, which came out the same week, diba, the finale, they kind of do the same thing in the sense that Monica Rambeau sacrifices herself to rip, I know, sorry, see, Captain Marvel reignites the sun. And then by using her own power, see, Captain Monica Rambeau also sacrifices herself to close the rift. And then Loki sacrifices himself by becoming in a very, I thought, classy, nice reveal, about the loom, about they do that 90-degree rotation, and then it's revealed na it's actually the world, it's Yggdrasil, it's the world tree from Norse mythology, which is referenced, of course, in the Thor movies. But it's basically the conception of the world, right? So, and then I was also following some of the fan theories, which is like, if you've been following one of the best runs of Loki, which was written by Kieran Gillen and Al Ewing also, they kind of went from Loki, Prince of Lies. There's a reveal in one of the arcs, kasi na parang you're actually Prince of Stories. And I thought that was a really nice way na, are they gonna lean into that here? And they kind of did. Diba? Parang siya yung nagbabantay ng loom and ng timelines and which are comprise all of creation as we know it. Then he is parang the god of stories, etc., etc. But I do admit na it's not the most easy to follow. It really works best, I feel, if you watch it immediately after having seen season one, especially since it kind of follows immediately after. I wish there was more Sylvie in season two, because she's a character that I kind of really found myself liking in season one. Pero I love the performers so much, especially after like the snooze fest of Secret Invasion and Ahsoka. I mean, it's still Disney Plus, even if it's not MCU. I was just like, man, even the first episode, like, even if I don't understand what's going on, you feel like the characters are in crisis. They're rushing around. They're acting their ass off. There's an urgency and an energy there that was absent in these last couple of things. Ki-Hui Kwan was such a nice, charismatic addition. Even see Rafael Casal was a nice...
Why aren't they featuring him on Tatler or something? He was such a big character.
Is he Pinoy?
Yeah, siya yung ano rin eh. Siya yung brother ni Manny sa, ano diba? Sa The Good Place.
Tsaka Hamilton siya eh, diba? Parang tagad din nata siya eh. And then...
The sets are still good though, Ramon. Also.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, isa pa yan.
Sorry, not Rafael. Kasi,
No, you're thinking of ano pala, Eugene Cordero.
Yeah.
Casey. Pero, yeah, I mean, the set, they had a good set in the TVA, diba? But they would also, it's not as volumey as the other Marvel shows or Disney show or Star Wars shows. The one that surprised me by how moving I found it actually was Owen Wilson as Mobius. Parang, he now has that sad dad energy na would make him the ideal, you know, parang Wes Anderson. Whereas he used to be the young person, now he could play the Bill Murray parang roles. I think I might have mentioned this, but yeah, I mean, the scenes where he parang sees what his quotidian life are, that I found that really moving. And then he also still has this sort of paternal feeling toward Loki, about, besides the buddy cop dynamic. It's more like, it still feels like, I don't know, parang, look how far you've come, guy. Parang ganun. So, ang ganda, diba? When he was gonna give himself up at the end, that was a nice performance that the both of them got to do. So, I'll miss that, especially in Deadpool 3.
And yeah, I was thinking, parang, especially after going through that whole Wes Anderson catalog, parang, oh, man, like, such a sad, parang character, but such a nice guy, sad. I can't even think of him anymore in Behind Enemy Lines or shit like that, where being an action star, right?
Or Wedding Crashers.
But God bless him.
One of my favorites. So the finale, diba, which we, I think, agree was great. It's basically Edge of Tomorrow. And then... But one of my favorite last scenes is when he's just watching himself play with his sons. So he's not occupying the role, but he's watching it from afar. And then Sylvie visits him. And then parang he says, ang ganda ng delivery, which is like, he basically says, I think I'll stay here a while. Parang ganun. Like he's waiting pa for maybe Loki will show up. Parang ganun. Ang ganda. Basta bittersweet, wistful, loved it.
Oh, that's your pull quote.
Yeah, so... I don't know. Not a bad Marvel outing. So
too confusing.
But I didn't, like, if you asked me to explain what's going on, I couldn't. Pero nadadala ka because emotionally committed. Ang galing ng performers eh, you know what I mean?
Also maybe two episodes too long.
Yeah. I would say maybe one episode too long.
The Jonathan Majors one.
The origin of Kang.
Ay, nako. But it was so nice now watching him unravel the first time with that hero music. Then he comes out.
And... that was such a good surprise. Oh, hero music pa kasi. And then the way it happens, but it's like,
oh, what about VFX? I didn't think it was terrible in this show.
And Alonso was still the VFX. He's still credited.
It was pretty good. I like the strings.
Yeah, the score also was great.
Did you notice? It's very, very minor and stupid. I guess it's also because I just seen Miss Marvel. But in the epilogue of Miss Marvel, when Kamala becomes Captain Marvel, the effect they use is actually the time slipping effect. And then if you watch the Marvels, they change the effect. Because probably they're like, oh, it's better for Loki. So, you know.
Interesting.
Moving on.
I did like one superhero show, and that is Moving. I'm so happy that... Wait, have you guys finished it?
Yeah, I finished it. Yep.
I'm so proud. Ramon, I know you have.
I have, yeah.
And...
Oh, wait, I thought you were waiting for...
I thought you want to talk about Moving. Come on.
I do. Well, you know, it is, I think, I will say this now, it is definitely in my top five of the year in terms of TV shows and the number one K-drama I've seen for 2023.
Really?
In my all-time list also, it's up there. I was very moved by Moving. And when I met Carl, the CEO of... podcast, the first thing I asked him was, so what's the best thing you saw this year? Then he was like, you know what, it's Moving. And then we've been kindred friends ever since. But you guys, how are you finding it? How did you find it? It took so long for you both to finish it.
I know, quark more na ka na.
I'm boring it.
Oh,
damn it.
No, just kidding. I loved it.
It's boring until the end. Maybe the midpoint of the first half.
No, but it's not boring per se.
Move slow.
Oh my god. Totoo pala.
No, but it's packed. It's like everything, at least unlike Loki, justified yung each and every episode. So
earned.
Yeah, earned. I do think it's probably in my top five of the year also. It's but like I think Ramon hinted, but I don't know, it does get better it always gets better when you focus on the parents. I think this is like a universal theme in comics and in TV and in movies. Like suddenly when it's the parents' stories, it's like, yeah, now we're fucking talking. Yeah, but the performances were great, the performers were amazing. I can't praise it enough. It's really, I think now that we're basically comparing it to Marvel, I think what its strength is, it allows itself, because it's a K-drama or a K-drama-ish show, you know, it does allow itself to be more earnest and more traditional in its storytelling in a way that Marvel can't, because Marvel always has to be the wink wink, nudge nudge, I mean, the
jokey, right?
Diba? Parang, oh, witty repartee.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was like, yeah, man, fuck.
Heart on the sleeve.
Get back at the bully. Yeah, speaking of which, my favorite subgenre, which is bullies get what they're due, happens so many times in this show. And then, yeah, like the family heart, that Asian warmth of family is so apparent here, that and it's not as much in the Marvel universe.
Brings a tear to my eye, Ramon.
I'll say first, I don't think it'll be top 5 sa akin, but maybe top 15, I think. But I kind of have to say, you kind of oversold it. So ako, nagulat ako at some points na parang, bakit ganito yung effects? And then, I do think it didn't need to be 20 eps. It could have been like 17. Especially the first 6 kasi yung week. And yeah, super stretched and padded. So those 6 episodes could have been 3. But I think I understand what they were trying to do, diba? Like, which is really embed you in the lives of the kids.
Right.
That said, structurally, it's so weird. I'm not saying it's bad, but structurally, it's so weird na six straight eps, kids. And then
there's a shift.
And then biglang may standalone na, or you think it's a standalone na parent episode. And then it's like six episodes na straight na
parents.
Parents lang. But it's sobrang levels up. Like the writing and the plotting is so damn good. Acting is so great. So I kind of was like, even if we don't go back to the kids, okay na ako. I know one person, si Wango, is on the opposite end of this. He was like, he couldn't wait to get back to the kids. But for me, it's like that typical K-drama thing where people say like, just wait till episode 8 before it starts getting good. And I'm like, that's 8 hours. So parang, yeah. But here, it's like very much like, I actually did like naman the first 6 in terms of like great acting from the kids. And the others, I mean, of course, I knew the bus driver was like, that's my sassy girl, man. They're not going to cast him and then he's just going to be a bus driver. But
when... si Bunje man nga is, ano, I was like, yeah, this guy looks like, I'm being racist.
He's an artista.
He looks like, oh. He does look like my sassy girl. Okay, so.
It's him.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Didn't you love the learning how to fly episode?
It's all right.
Of the kids? I mean, oh, come on. That's like one of my favorite ones.
First of all, the bouncing, yun ba yun?
Yeah.
No, it's all right. Pero at the same time, it's like there's some things they establish kasi, which is the fear of just disappearing into the atmosphere. So parang ang laki ng walang net, safety net, quote unquote, figuratively, kahit rope, even if you're going to try to, you know, jump around, maybe tie yourself to something just so that you don't die. Diba? As a child, and you're the only child of your mom. So the effects, it just struck me as typical K-drama, big budget.
Biggest budget.
Channel.
Biggest budget K-drama ever.
Are really more than Squid Game?
Yeah.
If that's the case, then the effects kind of should be better. Eh. Pero what I like is when they do it with the dad. Parang it's much better. Maybe because he's the expert, pero his flying was done in a way that did not feel like I had seen it before.
Mm.
But even if it was kind of strange, but he was always like on an axis. Eh? He's always like vertical or slanted, moving in straight lines. And yet, I think if you're not used to flight, diba, that's how you would imagine yourself also sort of moving. But they also added it with the espionage aspects. But galing ng acting and galing ng storytelling. Eh. In fact, I'm surprised na mas moving pa yung other guy, yung dad ni girl. Has such a much
si
more... Oh, like, pucha, art film talaga yung how he bags the wife, eh, diba? That episode is like, pangkan yan, eh.
Hindi yan the coffee episode, no?
Oh.
Yeah.
Diba? Parang,
and the ending was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and basically not even saying that your mom was a walker, diba? Parang, but yeah, I mean, genuinely one of the only times I gasped out loud while watching anything was when someone was about to get shot and then there's a gunshot and then just a figure in the air.
Yeah, so good.
That's one of the best. Like, pucha, ganda ng shot na yun, hayop.
I think Lodo said in the group that parang, well, how come nobody ever thought of Superman with guns? Because it's just such a great...
Yes, yeah. Lodo's a fan of moving.
There is a problem also for me na I think it's a webtoon thing, diba? Like with Concrete Utopia, where they really don't give a shit about the how and the why of things. It's just the what is going on and who it's happening to. So parang there's these questions now. How come these people lang have powers? And how come the powers tend to... Unfortunately, it's a little... I wish there were more diversity in terms of the powers. Because too many, especially towards the end where the other dudes show up, is... Parang they're all just come down to strength and invulnerability. Sana there was a little more range as far as what you can do.
Even the North Korean peeps know, they're kind of like the same powers, actually.
And then the whole 4 episodes being a bunch of hours in one evening, it kind of was Kung Fu Hustle na eh. Diba? Yung palakasan lang na sino yung tutumba muna. Pero still, I mean, galing ng acting, super charismatic, and then they earned nga the Asian warm, the strong family ties are all there. Even, I didn't expect nga that they would wrap it up. It feels like there doesn't need to be, I mean, of course, they set up like a new bad guy, but I don't even care if this has no more season 2. unless it's new characters, that might be more interesting for me. Pero
I love the four or five part finale.
Yeah, no, it's great. Wait, question. Who hired Frank, by the way, the FedEx dude? Like, was it the American guy?
Yes, he was part of like
He was giving the instructions to the phone.
Correct.
He was texting him.
He's part of the American forces.
Oh yeah, the other thing is sobrang boring nung Korean bad guy. Si Korean Takeshi Kitano was basically, it was just all tropey. Eh. So parang those parts were kind of dull.
But so when it focused on the parents and the kids, that was when it's all snapped into one big majestic Lego for me.
Magaling, pero yeah.
I do love Hisu, her episode where she basically gets like, wow, this bullying is out of hand. Like, I'm like, pro bars and shit.
And then she beats everyone. Yeah.
it's so satisfying. It's really
the glory, kana, or the glory.
Ah, sige.
Yeah, if you want revenge.
I need to watch Glory, actually, but. Yeah, I mean, also same with Ju-won, the young Ju-won and the people who betrayed him under the gang leader, etc. Parang ang ano talaga, the hook, the mouth, and all of those things. So, like, man, this is really satisfying revenge arcs here. So
I think this is also one of the reasons why I'm so spoiled. Na like I can't. Right now, I just can't watch like Invincible or you know, Loki. I couldn't really get into it because I just kept thinking of moving while I was watching the show.
Sa akin, iba yung cadence kasi of like, it's not a superhero tale. It's just superpowers and more realistic treatment, actually.
Right. But there's also a lot of emotional payoffs that I find missing in...
Yeah, yeah.
In the shows right now of the MCU.
That's what they can concentrate on. And because they're also new characters, but they're being introduced. So you have to parang get the audience to fall in love with them for a reason. Which I think will be the trickier thing in terms of doing a season 2 nga, na parang the loops feel nicely closed na kasi.
Yeah. New characters na yan from the like new North Korean peeps. And then the new kids that they are about to discover. Because they were seeding, I think, a lot of Easter eggs from the webtoon throughout the season.
But then, unfortunately, it does seem like Disney is pulling out from Korea.
Really?
No, they're pulling out worldwide, right? Except for the West. And so what I heard was Moving did well enough in the West that if they're going to continue with the show, so the Korean show it's this, and then stuff like Vigilante and whatever, parang okay, never mind.
No, it didn't get numbers. Only Moving got the numbers because I know it kept hitting a lot of news in Asia that it was the highest for Disney in terms of K-drama.
Oh, ito yung question ko for you. Why is it called Moving?
You know what? I looked at it. I looked it up before, but now I can't remember for the life of me.
Okay. Is it just because they had to keep moving to stay off the radar of the bad guys?
I saw one article that explained why it was called Moving. And it was from the webtoon from the webtoon author. But now I forgot.
Yeah, but, okay.
But I am glad to have watched it. It is really one of the best shows naman talaga. But it also is not like without certain plot armor. It's still very much a K-drama for good or ill.
God tier K drama for me for the year, most especially. But now that I think we have to wrap up our comic book MCU talk.
Everything we've talked about today, by the way, are all available on Disney Plus. So,
that's true. Wow, Disney sponsor us, naman.
If you're feeling for some good superhero, you don't have to.
Give the other two some subscriptions.
Oh my gosh, let me follow that up. Speaking of, what do we expect from the show? Oh, by the way, my best friend Shiva gifted me with the MCU book of Joanne Robinson. So I will dive into that.
I'm reading it now. So
how is it?
No, I'm just in the Pearl Mother part. Pala.
The evil.
Yeah, the evil man.
But easy, exciting, dishy read naman.
Well, supposedly it gets really intense and like they go into like you know, what really happened with Edgar Wright. And
pero authorized siya, diba? So it's not
unauthorized.
Well, it's authorized, but basically, and everybody was like, yeah, go, yeah, you know, like do the thing. And then I think towards the end, parang Disney started
pulling the plug on authorization.
They already had reached out to like 100 people already. So,
yeah, and they have long, Joanna Kase profiled the MCU for Vanity Fair for a number of years. So she has tapes and tapes of interviews with
it's her beat.
All the major players. And this is the culmination of that. Guys, the book is called The MCU, The Reign of Marvel Studios by Joanna Robinson.
Galing ng timing, eh? No? Alam niya it would end.
They actually talk about Quantumania, so that's the last thing. The Marvels, and then I think they have an article in Fortune magazine. Three of them, Joanna Robinson, Dave Gonzalez, and Gavin Edwards, who wrote the book, talking about the Marvels. So they do discuss the what Joanna Robinson calls the wobble.
The wobble. Oh, that's good.
It's probably not the end.
Yeah, of course.
They need to get
that. Course correction. Right there.
So next episode, but it's gonna be see the new creative director of Lucasfilm.
Is it Dave Filoni?
Yeah.
Parang like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's really not the news I wanted to hear out of Ahsoka.
Shock, should I even still finish Ahsoka? No more na.
I mean, did you like Ahsoka? What you've seen of Ahsoka?
No.
Oh, then what's gonna happen?
Wala lang. Or
just what? Spend time with your daughter, na lang.
Uy, she really you would be so proud. She really loved Scott Pilgrim Level Up.
Wow. Okay.
She loved it. She finished it in one sitting.
Wow.
Speaking of, please watch out for our next episode.
One of the next episodes.
A collab with Bams.
And then I was test watching Blue-Eyed Samurai. There was like sex scenes. I guess it can't. Mira, I can't watch this.
There's full frontal in that shit. Yeah.
My ratings naman eh, diba? You don't follow those?
No, I don't.
I had to message my mom, like, if Scarlett wants to watch Blue Samurai, do not let
yeah,
her watch.
Can you? I had that's why I had to test also. No, pardon, can I watch this with Mira? Nope.
I'm kind of excited not to watch TV again because of I'm all Q Cinema and French film fested out. So, but I've been following kasi Monarch Legacy of Monsters, which has been fun.
I want to catch up with that. I've been also watching Murder at the End of the World, which is fantastic.
I'm waiting for that to end. I'll binge that one. I feel like a mystery. I'll just
so
binge it.
So bad on TV this year, guys. I have enough for a list, but we shall see.
Let's see. Next week, we have Wonka.
Wonker why?
Wonker why? Timothy Chalamet. And
I've seen Wonka, and maybe we can do some Napoleon.
Will it still be in cinema? Well,
no, yeah, when it comes out in Apple, is it going to be full length or because they cut out a bunch again?
Oh no, what cut are these showing at the cinema?
Siyempre the short one,
the 2.5 one,
4 hours yung director's cut pang Apple yon.